It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump might be one of the least popular presidents in our country's history, with recent polls showing only 23% to 37% of voters approving of the job he's doing. But what is just as unpopular? That would be the Democratic Party. A July Quinnipiac poll found only 23% of people approved of the job Democrats in Congress are doing. So how did the Democratic Party get so unpopular, and how can the party turn things around? Our next guest has been credited with reinvigorating the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which he led from 2019 until last year. Ben Wickler is out with a book strategizing how the Democratic Party can reignite enthusiasm and win elections up and down the ballot. The book is called This Is the Plan: How to End America's Meltdown and Save Democracy. Ben Wickler, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Kate, it's great to be with you.
Wisconsin has just experienced a very eventful partisan primary. The nomination for governor mirrored Democratic fights we're seeing around the country. We have the Democratic Socialists competing against a moderate and establishment figure. So this razor-thin victory by Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley, the moderate, over Representative Francesca Hong, what do you make of the primary results?
Well, the biggest thing that was crystal clear out of this primary is that there's a huge level of participation, of interest, enthusiasm from Democrats. Way more Democrats voted than Republicans in the primary. The turnout among Democrats shot up compared to 2018, which was a year, you know, Governor Evers won, and the Republican participation fell from 2018. So this looks like a Democratic wave year from all the signals we can tell. We can also see, even though it was a hard-fought primary with a very close photo finish result, all the candidates joined together for a unity tour starting immediately after the race was called. And that kind of unity is also really good news for Democrats at every level of the ballot going into the November election to fight for working families across the state.
We saw the video images of them eating breakfast side by side, all of the candidates.
Yes. And, you know, there's nothing better than a delicious Wisconsin breakfast at a Wisconsin diner. So love to see that at every level.
This Democratic primary, though, it has been called messy. It was called chaotic, with candidates dropping out and coming back into the race, wasting ballots that were cast early. What does this primary tell us about your party?
Well, the biggest thing is that the national scripts, moderate versus insurgents and all this kind of stuff, they don't really account for what's happening on the ground in Wisconsin. When you have a shifting field of candidates, people haven't yet met the candidates who are actually going to be on the ballot on election day. This is very different from what you saw across the country. It was not a kind of tens of millions of dollars in a pitched battle that you saw in Michigan, for example. In Wisconsin, the primary field was actually set like 2 weeks before, less than 2 weeks before election day, when early voting had already begun. I think that the unity that you see now really speaks to two things. One is that Democrats do want change from a status quo in which really this national administration, Trump, with support from Tom Tiffany, has made life more expensive for people, from their healthcare to their gas and their groceries with this war in Iran. People don't want that. They want something else. And second, they want to win. And so what we see right now, the focus on ensuring that David Crowley can win, that Democrats win in the state legislature, it's so they can fulfill their campaign promises to bring down the cost of childcare, to expand healthcare so people can afford the healthcare that they need. These are things every Wisconsinite really wants. They affect no matter what political party you're part of. Everyone is feeling it in their pocketbooks right now. And I think there's a mandate to win elections in the fall and then take action next spring in Wisconsin to bring the cost of core necessities down for everyone in the state.
I want to talk further, though, about figuring out the tentpoles of the Democratic Party. Does Hong's loss say more about her campaign or perhaps the limits of the wave of progressive candidates winning races in other parts of the country? Who is in the Democratic camp?
Well, look at what Francesca Hong ran on when she was traveling across the state. She was very clear. She was fighting to make sure folks could get health care, that they could afford child care, that you could curb data centers where big tech is, demanding these huge tax breaks to build data centers around the state. These are mainstream issues that everyone's talking about, David Crowley is very clear. You can't have data centers coming in and jacking up the costs of electricity and utilities for Wisconsinites. They actually have to pay their way if they're going to be built. He also has a very strong childcare plank. He supports expanding healthcare. He supports increasing the minimum wage. These are things that Democrats agree on. And there's, you know, lots of other stuff. There's the social media clips and old tweets and all that kind of stuff. But when you ask what motivates Democrats in this election, it's the same thing that motivates the general public in this election, which is an economic pinch and a threat to democracy itself. And Tom Tiffany is just on the wrong side of both of those things. And all the Democrats in this race are on the right side. The differences between Democrats seem biggest the night before the primary. The next day, you look at what is the thing that actually unites people and brings them together. It's these cost of living issues and this basic idea that the people should choose who has power instead of politicians grabbing power the way that Scott Walker did before in the state and the way Donald Trump is doing nationwide right now.
In your book, you said you think Wisconsin Democrats can score a trifecta this November. You said wind is at the Democrats' back in one place, you know, winning the governor's race, both chambers of the legislature. What makes you feel so confident?
There's, in a sense, an election happening at two levels in Wisconsin and across the country. One level is the people who follow the news, people who like to think about politics in their free time. That is many listeners to this program, people who are, you know, interested in the positions of the different candidates. For those folks, there's the very real sense that we are in a moment of emergency across the country. I have a fire extinguisher on the cover of my book. I think a lot of us feel like the country's on fire right now, and that our basic rights and freedoms, marginal communities being thrown under the bus by this administration, the attacks on the system of voting and the public getting to choose who holds public office, and also especially this economic system being rigged to benefit people like Elon Musk, all of that has generated a sense of fury and outrage. The other election is people who would rather never think about politics. And I totally get why that would be. There's so many people who feel like the system is totally broken, that they don't believe what either party says. They'd rather not think about any of this stuff. They just want politics to stop interfering with the lives that they want to lead. And right now, both groups of voters, the ones who would rather never tune into political news and the ones who scoop it up 24/7 and can't sleep at night because of all the notifications on their phone, all of them are aligned that this is not working and we need a different path. That's the Democratic coalition in 2026. And that's the reason why I think that there really is a wind in the sails for Democrats. Some states, it's independent candidates. And I think for anyone who's saying we can't keep spiraling the way Donald Trump is trying to do with these giant, you know, corrupt deals for his wealthiest friends and his family members at the expense of everyone else. Anyone who thinks that we're on the wrong track right now, they have another option. And that option could mean a Democratic victory in the state legislature, in House races across our state, in the governor's race and the attorney general's race, and in states that Trump won by double digits, like our friends next door in Iowa, where Democrats have a very realistic shot at flipping a ton of statewide elections. It's an extraordinary moment in American politics, and this could be the final answer, the rebuke to what Scott Walker began in Wisconsin in 2010.
I want to ask you about 2010, that Republican wave. Do you see that this is that similar moment, or are there variations at what you're seeing in the Democratic Party as to what happened in 2010?
So in 2010, I write in the book, you know, this current moment of political crisis, it didn't start with Trump descending the golden escalator in 2015. It started with Citizens United and then the Tea Party wave in 2010 that led Scott Walker and Republicans in the legislature to a position where they could rig our electoral maps by gerrymandering. They could suppress votes targeting especially Black voters and young voters across our state. They could smash unions and try to take away the power of working class people to have their own political voice, both in the workplace and in the political arena. All of those things almost worked. You know, we had multiple elections where the majority of voters in 2012 and 2018 voted for Democrats in the state legislature, and yet Republicans won a majority of seats in both of those elections. We've finally defused the gerrymandering system. We have fair maps in Wisconsin now in our state legislature. I think the goal for Democrats is not to tilt the playing field the other way. It is to have an even playing field where everyone's ballot counts the same and everyone has a voice. That's how democracy is supposed to work. And we finally have a chance to make that happen. I think that when we do, that opens the door to economic policies that benefit everyone rather than just a tiny handful of people at the top.
We're talking with the former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Ben Wickler is with us. He's out with a book. It's called This is the Plan. It strategizes how the party can reinvigorate itself during the Trump era. The Democratic Party, it did well in Wisconsin when you were the state party chair, but it didn't dominate, and Republicans maintain control of the Senate, of the Assembly. As you're well aware, voters reelected a vulnerable Ron Johnson to the U.S. Senate. Why should people listen to your plan for reviving the National Democratic Party?
Well, Wisconsin is a purple state. I think we have a beating blue heart. The kind of tradition of the progressive movement is very strong in Wisconsin, going back to fighting Bob La Follette and the founding of the Republican Party in the 19th century. But there's also very obviously a far right streak in Wisconsin history through Joe McCarthy, through robber barons and labor massacres in the 19th century, all the way through the folks like Ron Johnson and Scott Walker and Derek Van Orden today. So this is a state where no party is going to have a permanent victory. That said, Democrats have now won 17 of the last 21 statewide elections. And we've done that in part by having neighbor-to-neighbor organizing that runs on a year-round basis in every corner of the state. The Democratic Party has a real presence in the lives of communities in small towns and rural areas and big cities alike in a way that I think the whole country really has something to learn from. We face hundreds of millions of dollars in Republican spending over and over. We had Elon Musk here spending $56 million in a state Supreme Court race. And yet, most of the time, not every time, but more than three quarters of the time, Democrats are winning these titanic battles. And I think the lesson from that applies to the country because nationwide, just the same as in Wisconsin, we're facing the greatest concentration of wealth and power the country's ever seen in the smallest number of hands. Tech oligarchs, the folks lined up in the front row at Trump's inauguration, they're throwing everything they can into dominating the country and maintaining control. And it's going to take a movement like we've been building here in Wisconsin now, and like Wisconsin helped launch nationwide in the capital P progressive era, a century plus ago, to be able to fight back against that. But what we also see in history is that it is possible for people power to defeat organized money. And it takes elbow grease, it takes work, it takes all the donations people can chip in to fight against the mega billionaires. But it's possible to build a political system that responds to the needs of the public and shares prosperity so that everyone can benefit and get their basic needs taken care of. We can be inspired by that history, by the work in Wisconsin. And if we throw our shoulder against the wheel across the country, I think this can be one of those dark moments before a new dawn. I think that there could be a major changes in the next few years that let the country look back at this moment as a turning point.
I want to say more a little bit here about that people power, because in your first chapter, you're really urging just everyday Democratic voters to get more involved, to knock on the door of their neighbor, of the people they know who might be able to talk or be, swayable. Can you explain what you want voters or how you want them to be more engaged?
My first chapter in my book is called Unleash Your Superpower. And my argument is not that your vote is your superpower. It's important to vote. But your superpower is your ability to engage as a citizen with other people. It is groups of people that change the world. It is to find a group of folks, maybe a neighborhood team. It could be through an existing network. It could be through your church or your work softball team or whatever it is. But find a group of folks that actually enjoys spending time together. And then with that group of folks, go out and expand the circle. Talk to people that are on the fence about whether they're going to vote or who they're going to vote for. What you'll find is that the people who are on the fence tend to be people who don't put politics at the center of their lives. But there are people that they trust. And if they trust you, you can play a role in helping them make sense of this chaotic and noisy political environment and voting in a way that reflects their values. I think that most Wisconsinites share a set of values around the sense that the state should work for everyone, that our rights and freedoms should be protected. And I think when you can cut through the noise, you can have a huge effect on how people cast their ballots. You see that in election after election in our state, they come down to three or four votes per precinct across Wisconsin, which means that if in your neighborhood, you talk to three or four friends and help them decide it's worth casting a ballot and this year they should vote for a Democrat, you might be part of that photo finish victory that changes the whole trajectory of Wisconsin. that kind of organizing, it is more powerful at this moment than any TV ad, than any super PAC, you know, digital influencer, paid communication wave, because trust is the most precious thing in American politics. We're all so isolated from each other. There's so much noise and so much disinformation that when you hear from someone that you actually believe in about, you know, how best to take action on the values that you share, statistical studies have shown it has a gigantic impact on how people vote. It's called relational organizing. It's the oldest thing that exists in politics. It is also the cutting edge of political strategy. And it's something that every one of us can do. If we do that this fall, Democrats are going to win.
You talk about super ballots with these congressional districts that could swing toward Democrats. You single out the congressional districts of Brian Stile in Janesville and Derek Van Orden of Prairie du Chien, and that, you know, in the swing districts, these voters can pass super ballots and shape the future across many levels of government. Are the state and national parties doing enough to move the needle in these powerful areas that you see?
So Wisconsinites, you know, we have to stay humble, even though our ballots matter more than just about anybody else's. And I was on a book tour and I went to New York and California and I was like, I know it can be hard to feel like Wisconsinites are lording it over you folks, but we get to decide, you know, who leads the country and you don't really. With the Electoral College the way it is, with swing states, swing congressional districts, swing state legislative districts, it means that Wisconsin voters do have these super ballots. And if you live in a place that's a swing state legislative district and congressional district, and you're in a swing state where governor's races, attorney general's race could come down to tiny margins, how you vote has a huge impact on the country. Now, at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which I used to chair, I'm now an advisor there, there's a huge focus on making sure that folks whose ballots could swing multiple races at once hear from friends and neighbors, get a lot of communication, are equipped with the information, get support to make sure that they can cast their ballots. I think nationally, Democrats can suffer from shiny object syndrome. They can get distracted by, you know, the latest viral video or the latest dust up that has, you know, gone through a million rounds of commentary on Instagram or whatever it might be, and lose touch with the fact that sometimes the most important races are the ones no one's paying attention to. So my hope with the book is that I can bring people's attention to these races where a little extra effort can have this gigantically outsized impact. I think in Wisconsin, voters have gotten really good at zeroing in on how important these kinds of fights are. There are a handful of state legislative districts in our state that will determine who has a majority in the state assembly and state senate. Those are often within districts that can affect who has the majority in the U.S. House. And all of those things are happening in a state where five of the last seven presidential elections came down to less than one percentage point, which means that these next few months, every Wisconsinite has this extraordinary gift. We all have the chance to talk to people that we know in our lives and knock on the doors of our neighbors. Democratic Party of Wisconsin neighborhood teams are ready to welcome volunteers to talk to folks whose ballots might tip everything at the same time. Most people don't have that gift. We do. We should use it.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on today.
That is Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin from 2019 to 2025. He is author of the new book called This is the Plan: How to End America's Meltdown and Save Democracy.